Welcome, everybody. The title of today's sermon is, well, I'm going to give it to you first because it's an important topic we're going to look at today. It's something that should affect us personally. I know Ron has said that there's people have left the church over the topic of how bad we are as humans and they're sick of hearing it. Well, this is a sermon they won't want to hear. The title of today's sermon is The Way We Think. Mankind has been created by God with a mind that is carnal, which means by nature, we're naturally against God's way of thinking. Mankind has been created with a mind that is selfish, inward thinking. It always thinks to put self-interest first. Now, we should be able to see this from our own point of view, which because we're called to see it. Some people see aspects of selfishness in the world, but they don't see what we see because they haven't been called to see it. Mankind's natural intent is selfish, even though it doesn't understand or recognize this fact, because some people do see aspects of selfishness. They will turn around and say, oh, that was selfish, but they don't see selfishness in self. If you'd like to turn to Jeremiah 19, or Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart, which is about the mind, the thinking, the motive within mankind, the mind, the heart, is deceitful. Now, that word deceitful is crooked, deceitful. Not honest, polluted, sly, insidious, which is to be cunning, slippery above all. So this mind or this thinking in man, the natural way we are, is all of those things. It's cunning, it's polluted because it's so selfish inwardly. Now, if we were to say that to anybody, they say, well, that's not me. But to us, we actually are called to see that aspect and then to work at it in a period of time that we have, that God gives us that opportunity to see it. So this heart is deceitful above all, above everything, and desperately wicked. Now, who would believe that? That we were to turn around and say to somebody, well, your thinking is desperately wicked. Well, we're not called to do that. We're called to see that our mind is desperately wicked by nature, naturally. Now, that word desperately wicked is incurable if left to itself, because this mind is curable with the power of God's Holy Spirit. In other words, it can be overcome, it can be conquered. But without it, all the people out in the world that haven't been called to see themselves, it cannot be fixed because it's so cunning, it will twist. Now, we're seeing at the moment with politics how cunning and deceitful a mind can be, because it'll tell another person what the other person wants to hear. That's politics. Tell them what they want to hear, but underneath, the mind knows that this is a load of lies. It's just me trying to get power so that I can earn my $350,000 a year. Everyone is the same. Every job is the same. And if we ever think that those out there aren't being deceitful or they're not being cunning, we're deceived, because this is the natural mind that God has created us with for a purpose. One of our greatest sins that we have, without knowing it, is that we defend our own selfishness, because that's natural, to defend self. In other words, make excuses for self and defend it, justify it, whatever we do. We make excuses why we sinned. By nature, we resist God, God's way of life, which is give. We give in to our selfish nature. We work hard to please self. We love self. Now, most people, without being called, would not say they love themselves. Oh, no. I sacrifice for everybody. I donate my time to charity. I do this, I do that. I. Because it's about I, me, self. But by nature, we love ourselves. And it's difficult for us to actually see how much we love ourselves. But we do. We love ourselves first. above all. Even though we might say we love somebody else, what God says, no, the real person is we love ourselves first. We will put self first. We need God's Holy Spirit, of course, to counteract that, to love someone else. We will do anything and everything to protect the image we have or that we are building. That's what we do by nature. That's what happens in the world. People want to protect the image that they have. They dress a particular way. They drive a particular car. They have a particular job. They have a particular title so that it projects out an image so that they are well thought of. And the moment that a person isn't well thought of, there's a disturbance that takes place in the mind. What do you mean you think I'm full of vanity? Because it's natural, we have vanity by nature. We have an opinion about everything. By nature, we have a lying spirit. Now, we wouldn't acknowledge that our natural carnal mind, it lies, it exaggerates every single day. So no matter who we're dealing with in the world, underneath, they are lying. Only they don't admit it, they don't know it, but they lie. Because they know opposite, they often know different, but they will lie. So that's us. Now, this sermon is about us, because we've been called to acknowledge this and to see it within self. Deep, deep down, we're cunning liars. Deep down. Without God's Holy Spirit, that's the way we live our life. And it's difficult to see it. And people don't. Scripture continues, who can know it? So all of that, who can know it? Well, only God. Only God can know it to its fullest extent. Verse 10, I, the Eternal, search the heart, which is the mind, the thinking, the intent. Why we do what we do, I test the mind. Now, I was talking about somebody that's called, because God does not have to work with somebody in the world to know the way they think, because he created it selfish. We have a satanic thinking by nature. That's the way we are. So God doesn't have to test it. He already knows what's going to happen. He knows the response. It'll be a deception. It'll lie. It'll justify. It will do everything to protect self. So this is really talking about somebody that's in God's church. Now, what are trials about for us? Trials for us are about experiences to see what we will do, the way we think. So we're put in an environment and God looks at it and says, I test the mind, the secret parts, which are our motive and intent. So when we're in a particular environment, what God is interested in is to see, well, what will we really do? Will we rely on the self or will we rely on his spirit to lead us through that trial to see what we will do? God tests our thinking once we have been called. So we're called and then things are put in front of us. And of course, the first one that is generally put in front of us is the seventh day Sabbath, because it's a test commandment. The Sabbath is a test commandment. Therefore, we're tested. Well, okay, you're called to see, we're called to see, what will we now do on this day? Well, God will find out what we will do, whether we will put him first and listen to what he's got to say. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, based on our choices. So our choice will bring two things, a blessing from God or a curse. Now, that's not, we understand it's just an automatic thing because it's the way we think. So the way we think has automatic consequences. And we should have learned some of these consequences from examining ourselves to see what we're really like individually. According to the fruit of his doings. So it's whatever happens in our life, our actions, what we decide, there's going to be a consequence. And often people think that, oh, well, I'll just do this and they've worked out the consequences. But they've only worked out the consequences according to what they think. It's not necessarily the consequences to God's word, because we know there's a blessing and cursing that goes with every decision that's made in life. Once called, a person by the power of God's Holy Spirit can begin to see spiritual matters. And then, we must choose to think differently, which is to repent of all thinking that is against God's way. Now that sounds reasonably simple, but we will be faced with this on a continual basis all of our life. This takes time and this takes experiences. We're going to have to experience a lot in life so that God can bring us to a point that he can say, now I know you. He knows that whatever trial comes ahead, we will go a particular direction. We'll do this or we'll do that. And the only way to find out is to test them. So we are guaranteed, brethren, that we're going to be tested, going to be placed in trials. And if we try to avoid all the trials, one way or the other, the trial will turn up to see which way we think. But God needs to know that before he says, now I'm going to give you life in Elohim. He needs to know our decision. Once called, a person must come to be in full unity with the truth, with the way God thinks, with God's government. Now that's important because God's government on this earth, the Church of God, God's government is about God's Holy Spirit. So we have to come into unity with God's Holy Spirit. We have to come into unity with what the government of God gives us to believe, to way to live life. Once called, a person must choose to yield to God's government on this earth. Now that word, choose to yield, because our life is about choices. It's about choosing to do something. So we're either going to choose to go against or we're going to choose to yield. Now we have chosen to yield to God. That's why we're here today, the seventh day Sabbath. It's a choice. A person can choose not to yield. How? And how is it obvious? By non-attendance over a long period of time. That's a choice. Excuses. Remember, the natural carnal mind is deceitful, wicked. So if we know ourselves, we can make excuses about a lot of things in life that we want to have our way and not yield to God's way. Truth 9. I've got a couple of truths here. And the reason I wanted to cover them was we often take the truth for granted. But to understand this one particular truth, truth 9, is an absolute incredible thing that there's only a few hundred people that actually understand it on a spiritual level. Out of the 7 billion people, most people don't understand this truth. But we have been given this gift by God because truth is revealed by God when he chooses to reveal it. So this is in the era, Mr. Armstrong being the apostle, that this truth was revealed, and it is so incredible that we here understand it. There's a few of them. Truth 9, the human spirit in man. Now, mankind out there doesn't understand this. They just don't understand it. They've got scientists, people paid big money to try to investigate this. They've got scans to look at your brain, looking for things. Why? You know, why? Why is somebody a serial killer? Well, we should know these things because God has revealed it to such a few group of people over time. The difference between the human mind and the animal brain is that there is a human spirit within the human brain that gives the ability of free thought, creativity, and memory. Now, it's interesting that they're trying to get animals to teach them to count. An animal will never count to 180 because it doesn't have the human spirit. God gave it. Animals were created differently. It's an amazing thing, but the world does not know it. We know this, that they can spend hundreds of millions of dollars getting a chimpanzee in a cage to count to 3. Which they've got some to count, you know, because of habit and repetition. But they're not going to have that creativity. God didn't make them that way. God never designed animals to count. There's no purpose in animals counting. There's purpose in us counting because we have to count 50. So you can understand, we know how to count. We know God's calendar. Animals will never know God's calendar because they were never created to know it. This human spirit must be united with the spirit of God for mankind, to be able to come to know the true ways of God. Now, isn't that an incredible thing that we know? We have been connected, the human spirit, with God's Holy Spirit. There's very few people on this earth that have this and know this. That's why we know God's truths. That's why we're here today, because we know something that most people have no idea about, and they don't care for that matter. The fact is, very few from mankind have ever known this truth, this particular truth. But we know and understand it. It is God that decides when to reveal a truth. And yet we've been called. So God thought about us, called us out of all those billions of people, and gave us this knowledge. Staggering to think that the creator of the universe, who has existed forever, thought about giving this truth to us. Now, there's a purpose in that. The purpose in all of this is that we would be converted. We would change the way we think. So that that mind that I just covered before, and that God revealed in Jeremiah, that mind that's deceitfully wicked, that can be transformed. That's a staggering thing. We know it. The world knows nothing about it. They think we're insane saying these things. The purpose of this sermon is to explore how someone called by God can change the way they think. And I've been through the title, Truth 12. Only those whom God the Father calls and draws to him can be converted. Now, that word converted means to turn. So when a person is converted, they're turned. Well, what happens to us? We turn. We are living a particular way of life, and we then turn to live another way of life. We're being converted, which is to turn. Only those called can begin to turn to think differently. And we know the word repent is to think differently. So this mind that we have by nature, we are then called by God to turn from that way of thinking to another way of thinking, which is about Sabbath, obedience to God, holy days. And therefore we turn, we start to think differently. And of course, the world loves us because we're thinking differently. The more we turn, the more we're converted, the more we will be disliked by mankind. Because we then turn away from Easter, Christmas, and all the other things, and therefore we're different, true? We're turning, we're converting to something else, we're changing. World thinks we're weird, but God doesn't. Because the only reason God has called us is for the purpose of being converted. Otherwise, what's the point of, might as well just live life selfishly? No, we're to live a different life. God calls us to live a different way of life, which is about sacrificing self, sacrificing this carnal mind that we all have by nature. Only those God calls can come into the fellowship of the Church of God. And you think, why? How? Because fellowship is about unity. Fellowship, we can get on with each other, we talk to each other, and without a calling from God, we probably would have no real association with each other. But it's the truth that God has revealed to us that keeps us together in fellowship. We believe the same thing. We can get excited about the same thing. We mention the word Feast of Tabernacles and we get excited. And you mention that to someone in the world and they're crazy people. Feast of what? So it's an exciting thing. But there's very few, and we often forget, there are so few in this world today that have this understanding and the power of God's Holy Spirit. So few out of all the billions of people. So what a unique calling. Continuing on with that truth. Satan has deceived the whole world and the church is called out of the world. Now, you can understand why people say, what do you mean you're called out of the world? Well, it's the way of thinking. We think differently. What they seek and what they get pleasure in, what we used to seek and get pleasure in, our selfishness, they still do. And they can't come out of it. It's not possible. It's only by the power of God's Holy Spirit that someone can come out of that way of thinking. So that changes our relationships with others. And as we were talking before, Everyone out there lies. And I mean everybody lies, and we do often to ourselves because we still have a degree of selfishness in us. We have a degree of pride in us that we're supposed to be overcoming. But the reality is that the amount of God's Spirit that we have changes the way we think, but the natural carnal mind, the physical, always normally comes back first because that's the natural mind. That's what we're battling, and we'll battle it for our whole life. Romans 12, verse 1. So we can look at why we were called. Well, the real reason we're called, other than entering Elohim, it's a process. We've been called to think differently, to change the way we think from what Jeremiah revealed to us, that God revealed through Jeremiah to us, this natural mind that we have by nature. Well, we've got to fight against it. Now, if we don't, there's a scripture, we may get to it, I hope we do, that a carnal mind can't enter Elohim. Not possible. A physical, carnal mind that does not have God's Holy Spirit and is not changing or being converted is never going to enter Elohim. Never. The only way we can enter Elohim is through the power of God's Holy Spirit, where we begin this transformation. Romans 12, verse 1. I, Paul, beseech or urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies or the favour of God, because look at the mercy and favour God's shown to us. So few we are in the body of Christ today. What great mercy that he has called us to change. Could have been somebody else, but it's not. It's us. We've got this task in this present evil age. By the mercies of God, that you present or you yield your bodies a living sacrifice. So that's what we've got to do. That's the hard part that we have to do, brethren, is to yield the way we think to God's thinking. We've got to learn to sacrifice ourselves, because God's way of life, love, is about sacrificing. Well, the opposite, which we know we were born with, is about self, pleasing self. Now we have to learn to please God, please others. Wholly acceptable, which is pleasing to God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And do not be conformed, which is to blend into this world, but be transformed, which is metamorphoso, to change into another form. Well, that's what our journey within the body of Christ is about. It's about this transformation of the mind. Now, how do we do it? So how do we be transformed? By the renewing, which is the renovation, the complete change for the better of your mind. So that's the task we have. It's about the way we think. Now, there is many things that we think of in life that are still selfish, even within the body of Christ, because we often fall back to what we would consider just, well, that's the habit that we have of thinking. It's the way we think. We've been called to renew our mind, to renovate it, to change it, and that you may prove by living the truth that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So obedience to God is this transformation. We have a natural carnal mind that pleases self. Well, now we must set out to please God. We have been called to change the way we think. That's really what a calling's about. So once called, we enter this process of beginning to change the way we think. So we see that separation taking place where people more and more difficult to deal with, in the sense that they don't understand us, they may like us, they may not, doesn't really matter. But it's more difficult for them too, because we're the ones changing. It's not that they're changing, they can't. They can only think selfishly, they can only be selfish, because that's the natural carnal mind. Well, we've been called to fight against it. And in the world's eyes, that fighting against the natural carnal mind, they don't understand, and they see it as quite weird. The fact that we will do certain things that they think are just not normal. We're not normal, but we're the normal ones, because we're undertaking something God requires of us. Matthew 18, verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Joshua saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now we see from a natural carnal mind that question is the same as, well, it's driven by pride. Who's the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's a carnal question. Then Joshua called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted." So unless you turn from this natural carnal mind, from pride to humility is what's really being said. So unless we are willing to choose to yield to others by sacrificing, we have to learn this yielding and become as a little child, which is to have humility and to be teachable. So unless we're teachable on the Sabbath and we learn to yield to what is given, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You will by no means enter Elohim. So it's impossible. So unless we set out on this journey to be converted, to turn from what we are selfishly to non-selfish, to have the thinking of God, it's impossible to enter Elohim. Well, we're faced with that today. The world is not faced with it, but we here and those listening that have been called to be converted, this is a statement from Christ. Unless we're willing to enter the battle and to fight and to turn from the way we are naturally, we cannot enter Elohim. Unless we have humility and learn to yield, we cannot enter Elohim. It's not going to be possible. Acts 3, verse 18. Acts 3 and verse 18. "But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled," referring to Joshua. "Repent." Now we understand the word, what we have to do, repent. And that word repent, as has been mentioned often, is to think differently in the Greek. We've got to think differently. So the natural way of responding to an environment or situation, we have to learn to think differently about it. Now, in times past, I know that someone would turn around and say something aggressively about me, and the natural mind would either seek revenge or justify the action or turn around and respond by saying, "Well, you're just an idiot anyway." We have to learn to yield to what God says, and God says we're not to respond in kind that way. We're to respond in a loving way. So that, how do we do that? Well, it's only by the power of God's Holy Spirit that we can learn through experience not to respond that way. Now, someone can turn around now and say, "You're just an idiot." And say, "Okay, who cares what someone else thinks, really? We're worried about what God thinks of us. You know, he's testing us to see what we'll do, how we will respond." Well, that's what we have to learn through this experience, the way we respond to environments. Now, we'll all be put in different environments and having to learn to yield. Because by nature, we have pride. And we'll want to take revenge or we'll want to respond and defend self. That's all natural. Well, we've been called to learn to yield, which is about humility. And only God can give us that humility and to change the way we think so that we begin to say, "Okay," and start to accept things. Like what's going on in Australia at the moment with elections. The answer to it, like they say, who's going to win? The answer to it is God raises them up and God pulls them down. So voting's not, it's going to be what God does and the way God wants it. God raises up a leader, God pulls a leader down. It depends on what God's will is for this earth and what the end time's going to be. So all the voting is not going to make any difference, because God can influence an outcome and raise somebody up or pull somebody down. So the answer to it is, it's God's will be done. Whatever happens, it makes no difference. It's God's will. And if such and such wins and it's a surprise, well, that's God's will. And if somebody else wins, well, that's God's will. Man can't influence, it's God. If it's the right time or God wants somebody in a position, that's what's going to happen. Verse 19. So repent, think differently, therefore, and be converted, which is this turning, make a change, and to learn to yield, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing. Now, what's that talking about? Well, we have to have our minds refreshed. This is about, once called, we have the opportunity to change, to think a different way, to refresh our mind, refresh our thinking. May come from the presence of the Lord. What does that say? Well, this is about, if we have God's Holy Spirit, we can then be refreshed. We can have a new, refreshed mind, a converted mind, which is a renovated mind. God living in us enables us to change our thinking. Now, we can't change our natural selfishness without the power of God's Holy Spirit. It's not possible, just won't happen. That's why we shouldn't expect a lot from people in the world. We really shouldn't, because they don't have the power to think differently. They might think differently about certain things, but on a spiritual level, they can't believe the truth. Not possible. Truth 15. The Holy Spirit coming into us only begets us. So we are now what is considered begotten sons of God. In other words, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, so we've been begotten, but we've not yet inherited anything. God's Holy Spirit opens our minds so that we can understand the coded book, the Bible. So we then start to see things which is otherwise locked from our understanding. So we shouldn't expect others to live the lifestyle that we live because they don't understand God's word. Without that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand the Bible. Spiritual knowledge comes from the Bible through the revelation of the Holy Spirit that God grants a portion of as he calls someone. Now, the world don't understand that. But we know this. This is incredible knowledge. Out of the billions of people, how many people understand this truth? Very, very few. A few hundred. Once baptized, this Holy Spirit then continues to dwell in those that have been begotten of God's Spirit, so that a person can continue to grow in knowledge and understanding of God. Now, that only happens by Sabbath keeping and listening to sermons. And like a person can listen to a sermon without God's Holy Spirit, and what will happen? Absolutely nothing. It's not possible. But if a person listens to a sermon with God's Holy Spirit, something will start to transform in the mind. Ah, I didn't hear that before, even though the sermon's 7 years old. Ah, I didn't hear that before, because it's spiritual. The sermons that are given are spiritual in nature. Therefore, with God's Holy Spirit, all the more reason why we should listen to a sermon more than once, because there's always something in there that is meant for us, and sometimes it's years before the light goes on and says, ah, never heard that before. Isn't that incredible? And therefore, we're all at different levels. So somebody that is called and is doing week one is totally different thinking than someone that's been around for 30 years. But someone that's around 35 years may be at the same knowledge of someone who's been around for 2 years. Because it's all about the power of God's Holy Spirit and the choices we've had and we've had to make about yielding. So the more we yield, the more we desire God's thinking. God says, that scripture talks about that whatever you ask will be given to you. Well, that's spiritual. It's not a physical thing. It's spiritual. So if we ask to have our minds transformed, we want to think differently, we want to respond differently in particular environments, God will give us the power to respond differently in different environments because it's about his Holy Spirit. But if we don't desire it, well, it's not going to be given, is it? So this is about a desire to think differently. We want to think differently. We would all, there's many a time, personally, I desire that I'd responded a different way and not said what I said. You know, and you bite, you're like, ah, stupid Wayne. And that, you know, it's in the mind, it's all in the mind. You don't say anything. It's just, and you realize you've done the wrong thing or you've said the wrong thing and you go, ah, you know, and you want to punish yourself for it. Well, we can go to God and be forgiven and move on. And next time, it'll repeat itself and go, experience, learn to think differently. That wasn't the right way that I did it last time. They now have the power to think differently, to change the way they naturally think. Isn't this incredible? That we know this. The more I went over this, I was just so staggered that what God has given his church and his people. And we just take it for granted. You know, here we are, we're just going along and yeah, we're going to think different. This is just incredible because nobody knows this. We do, and we have to live it. That's our choice. But we've been given this gift. Incredible. From the way of get to the way of give. Almost throwaway words. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about it all the time. You know, the way of get to the way of give. It's all simple. It is not simple. The way of get is the natural carnal mind. The way of give is God's mind. And that transformation, that conversion that has to take place takes years. It doesn't happen overnight. And the natural carnal mind cannot do it. Because the natural carnal mind can give, but it's getting. It gets something back. It's about pride, other things that go on in the mind. Whereas this way that we have to live is a way of get, expecting nothing in return. Sacrificing. Sacrifice. It's incredible. But we know it. So no matter if someone is generous from the world to us, it's a good thing. But the motive is what God's looking at. God's looking at the heart. Why? So the politicians have all given us extra money in the bank account. What was their motive? It wasn't the gift of God's Holy Spirit that they gave us money. This was about them getting something back. It's called a vote. And I felt like ringing them up and saying, thanks for the money, but I don't vote. I'd probably want the money back. But that's what it's all about. There's a motive behind every action in life. Now, that's the secret. We should be looking at our motive and our intent in every action in life. There is one. It's tucked away in there somewhere. It's in here. It's in here. So even in the church, a person can give and still sin, as I mentioned before, because it goes back to why a person's doing it. So someone can pay tithes or give an offering and still sin. Staggering as it sounds, because it's given for the wrong motive. It's given to please the apostle. It's given to whatever reason, but it's the wrong motive. The reason that we give tithes and offerings is to please God. It's God's church. And what happens with the money that once it goes to God's church, once it's given, it's not our problem. Not our accountability. We're not given that authority. Someone else has. So we now have the power to think differently and to reject our selfish thinking. And that's all easily said, but it's not that simple to do. We need trials. We need this experience to see what we will choose. So when we go through a trial or experience, we should be able to look down a little deeper than the trial itself. We've got to look a little deeper and say, well, I'm in this trial, why? What is it that I need to change the way I think about something? And it may go on for years and years and years and not ever see the reason why, because we're not given that sight to see. But there's something we need to build a character, a certain way of thinking. So we're often in trials and we don't understand why, but we have to go through them because it is about this changing the way we think. Romans 7 verse 7. Romans 7 verse 7. This is Paul, and he's referring about God's law. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, which is, you know, complete opposite, really. I would not have known sin except through or by the law. So here we are, brethren. We now have the power, because mankind doesn't. We have the power now to see sin. The law tells us what sin is. So the law is a wonderful thing that it reveals hard. This is what sin is. The breaking of the Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, that's what reveals sin. The law shows you what the Sabbath is. And therefore, because we see that, we now know what sin is. So somebody who doesn't keep the Sabbath properly sins. So the law is holy. It's good. It's a guide. It's clear. It shows you what sin is. And that's what Paul's saying. He wouldn't have known what sin was except for the law. For I would not have known covetousness, which is lust, unless the law said, you shall not covet. So the law is holy, as we're going to read. Therefore, the law is our guide. So when we examine the thinking, we should be able to go through the law in our mind to see how we are acting. Is God first in our life? First commandment. You know, God's above all. So do we commit idolatry during a week? And the answer is yes, every one of us. And we just don't see it yet. But we often put things before God without even realizing it. And what do we put before God? Self. Because we've got a natural carnal mind. We'll always put self ahead of God. We need God's Holy Spirit to see that what covetousness is, what idolatry is, we need God's Spirit. So the law tells us these things, otherwise we wouldn't do it. That's why the world out there, if you were to go up to the average person and say, you commit idolatry every single day, they would think you're crazy. There is no way they committed idolatry. They think you've got to have a statue. It's not about a statue. Self is the biggest idol in our life, our selfishness. That's what we put first. We please self first before we please God. We can only know what sin is by seeing, and I've got seeing in brackets because it's spiritual. We have to see on a spiritual level in the mind. The laws of God, seeing the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is love. So the moment we please self before pleasing God, anything that God says we do contrary, that's idolatry because we're putting something else, self, selfishness, before God. The spirit of our nature is to love self. The spirit of the law is to love God. The complete opposites. Well, by nature, of course, we know we love self. We will protect self. Verse 8. But sin, which is the transgression of God's law, we understand, takes opportunity by the commandment produced or revealed in me all desires, all these different desires that we have, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're all there. For apart from the law, sin was dead. So in other words, we can't see sin because we don't see the law. If we don't have a law, well, we just live life. In other words, we could not see sin. We just did our own thing. Well, before being called, that's exactly what we did. We did our own thing. We just lived life. And we had particular rules and that we may or may not have kept, but not according to God's word. I was alive once without the law, which we were, but when the commandment came, in other words, we're called to see the law now, sin revived and I died. Now we can see sin. Before we couldn't see it, so we thought we were doing all right. Now, we now see sin. Now we're in trouble because we've brought the death penalty on us because now we see it. Now we can see sin, the death penalty that comes with it. We now see it and go, the wages of sin is death. The commandment, verse 10, the commandment which was to bring life I found to bring death, because now we see it and go, the wages of sin is death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. It revealed the death penalty. So now we see the death penalty. We're under the death penalty. We're under it every day. The moment we sin, the death penalty is applied to us. We need to repent. Therefore, the law, this is God's law, is holy. The commandment holy and just and good. And yet Everyone says it's done away, yet here clearly in Scripture it says the commandment is holy, just and good. Why would you do away with something that is holy and good and just? Doesn't make sense, does it? Has then what is good, which is the law from God's mind. Remember, the law comes from God's thinking because it's revealing the sin that's in our natural mind. So that's how we see it, because we now see the law and we see now, we have a natural carnal mind as outlined in Jeremiah. That's what it is. It's hostile against God by nature. Become death to me. So now we see it now. We realize, we're under the death penalty. Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through or by what is good, the law. So the law revealed it, and we're under the death penalty. So that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. The more we see the spirit of the law, the more we see sin. Because having just the law and what it is, you can say, well, that's sin. Breaking the Sabbath is sin. Yep. Now you have to look deeper. We have to look deeper, brethren. The intent, why we do what we do, that's what reveals what sin is. Motive. Because there's so many things that people can do for the wrong motive. And they can appear to be good. Example I give given, giving an offering. Giving an offering, which is commanded by God, and God's church has verified 7 times in a season. So we're to yield to that and should do it 7 times in a year. Not a season, in a year. So we should yield to that. And if we don't yield to that, what is that saying? Same as giving first tithe or saving second tithe. We're to yield to what God tells us. And now if we don't, what is that saying? We look at our motive. So what's our motive that we don't do it? What is the motive that we would desire to rob from God in tithes? What do you think the motive is, brethren? It's selfishness. Because there's only 2 choices here. Selfishness, get, or give God's Holy Spirit. Because it's motive that is. It's not about the giving, it's about the motive for why we do what we do. Verse 14. For we know, we see, that the law is spiritual, because it's about the intent. The intent is to do no harm to anybody. The intent is to obey God, to yield to God. That's our intent. But I am carnal. I am selfish. Sold, which is like a slave, to sin. The natural mind cannot think spiritually. Simple. We know these things. But we have to learn to deal with it and to recognize it more deeply than what we have in times past. Verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. I don't perceive. Why? Because it happens automatically. We respond to things automatically. It's just natural. It's natural mind. That's the way we were brought up. That's the way we respond. For what I will to do. Now, he wills here, Paul speaking, we will to do good. That's what we will. It's like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to respond that way anymore. I do not practice. In other words, something else happens. Automatic. Off we go and do our natural mind. But what I hate, selfishness, that I do. So even though we will not to do this, we often do it because it's just habitual. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So we know the law is good. We want to do this, but we can't because the natural mind kicks in and pride kicks in and, you know, and the mind starts to go off all the things we'd like to do to that person and sort that matter out. And that's natural. That's what we would do. Well, we practice that. Well, we've been called to unpractice that and to practice something different. Think differently. Verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. It's natural. Sin in the mind apart from God's Holy Spirit. So it's natural to respond a particular way or to do a particular thing. The natural mind of selfishness will always be at work in us. Therefore, we must learn to fight, to recognize it, and overcome its desires. Now that's easily said, difficult to do. because of our nature. We must always be ready to repent once we see sin. So it's about examining ourselves and just seeing where we do fail and say, oh, and willing not to do that again. Even though we might do it again, we continue with that desire not to do it again. And over time, over experience and time in particular, and going through that trial, we will respond differently than what we used to. Verse 18, for I know, I see that in me, that is in my flesh, which is in the natural carnal mind, nothing good dwells. That's a wonderful statement. Nothing good dwells in the natural carnal mind. Just don't tell anyone outside of the church that. You're going to be in trouble. We are totally, totally selfish by nature. And it's much worse than we recognize within ourselves. Much, much worse than we recognize. For to will is present with me. We desire to do this good. We desire to please God. We desire to do the right thing. How to perform what is good, I do not find, because the natural mind just kicks back in, responds back, because we've done it for years. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil, which is all based on pride, I will not to do, that I practice. So there's so many automatic things within us, brethren, that we don't realize, and prejudices that we don't realize, that they're there because the natural mind, it's been developed over years. For me, it was 30 odd years of practicing pride, practicing selfishness, and then to God to call and to begin a process, I've got to learn to yield. And 39 years later, has it got a lot better? A little, because it takes time. This is not easy. This battle will go on forever. And I found as I've got older that things are more obvious, that, you know, sometimes you think, this is pretty hopeless. We're getting nowhere here. And I realise sometimes going backwards. Anyway, we will continue on. That's what God called us for, to continue on, to endure to the end. And the more that we go through experiences, the more we begin to see, I'm not doing that well. After all those years, maybe things are a bit worse than what I first thought I saw. They're worse. Well, it's about the fight. It's not about the length of time. It's about the fight and staying in the fight until the very end. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. And I think we all could probably say that. That's what we do. It's just natural. Verse 20, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, which is because we were created in selfishness, that's in the mind, that evil, selfishness, is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Well, that's what we can say. We desire to do good. We desire to please God, but we were created another way for a purpose. That's the purpose. We've been called at this time, very few called at this time, to fight this battle. Others haven't, so we don't expect much from them, do we? Because they can't. They'll always be selfish. For I delight, on which I rejoice, in the law of God according to the inward man. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows that we're walking around with this fight. They can't see it. They just think, just a normal person going into a shop, normal. But underneath in here, there's a massive battle going on on particular days. So once called, we have to make a personal choice in the mind. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, which is this carnal mind, warring against the law, God's, in my mind. So there's a contradiction here. They're two different things. But that's what God created us for. And to enter Elohim, we have to have entered the fight. To bring me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because we could say that, it's just terrible. We really deep down are quite evil. You know, because we're quite cunning. We don't even realize half those things we are. Well, who's going to deliver us? Well, to be wretched means that we see the pride that drives our motive and intent, because that's what it's about. Why we do what we do is the most important thing. What's the motive? It's either two things. One is the motive is to get back to self, get something. Now, it may be credit. It may be somebody getting, you know, oh, that's a nice, Wayne's a generous person, or it can be lots of other things. But every action has a motive. Or it's based on God's spirit, which is one of sacrifice. We're either sacrificing to please God, not to please self. So there's always that choice in every single action that we do. We see that we are wrong and God is right. And that's the battle. I thank God through Joshua the Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. He desires to be obedient. But with the flesh, the natural mind, the law of sin. Selfish. The main point here is that we are in the battle and that we never give up. Because that's what it's about. It's about the battle. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation. So we're not under the death penalty if we're repenting. That's what it's really saying. We're not under this death penalty that is automatic if certain things. To those who are in Christ Joshua. In other words, God's word dwells in us and we are obedient to God's word. That's the battle we're in. We want to be obedient to God's word. Who do not walk according to the flesh. So in other words, we don't just yield to our natural carnal mind of selfishness. We stop and go, no, I'm going to do this. And when we do that, sometimes it really hurts. But that's the point, because you're fighting the natural carnal mind. We're fighting that mind, therefore it hurts. You think, oh, it's a choice we have to make though. But according to the Spirit. So we are to walk according to the Spirit of the law. What's the Spirit of the law? The Spirit of the law is love. We're to walk in love to all at our own expense. And that's the battle. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Joshua has made me free. How? By forgiveness, repentance. If we repent, we will be forgiven. Therefore, we become free from the law of sin and death. So we're free from the death penalty. This ongoing repentance will mean we're not under the death penalty. It's a marvelous thing. Now, how many people know that? How many people know that the transgression of God's law is sin? How many people care about sin? Not many. Those that have been called to care about the law. The law does not change people, and it doesn't make people sin. The law just simply reveals what sin is. We have to choose to change. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, because we are weak naturally, we're selfish, we act selfishly, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sin, sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he paid the penalty for sin. We don't have to pay it as long as we repent. We're not under the death penalty as long as we repent. Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law, which is to walk in the spirit of the law in faith, the power of God's Holy Spirit, might be fulfilled in us. So it's got to be in us. It's got to be a choice we've made. We've yielded to it. Who do not walk according to the flesh. We don't walk according to selfishness anymore, but according to the Spirit. Our intent is to live love. And often we don't, because of our natural mind. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, selfishness, set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's natural. So don't, you know, we shouldn't expect anything from anybody else. We shouldn't expect politicians to act differently. We shouldn't expect lawyers to act differently. We shouldn't expect anybody to act differently. They can't. Because deep down their motive is selfish, even though it may look like it's good. It's not. It's actually selfish. They're getting something back. And that may not be something physical straight away. It can be up here. There's a pleasure in the mind that takes place. It's called pride. It can be elevated. But those who live according to the Spirit, which is what we're supposed to be doing, living the Spirit of the law, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For the carnal, to be carnally minded, which is to be selfish, is death. So everybody out there is under the death penalty. We shouldn't be, because we're in a state of repentance, ongoing repentance. But to be spiritually minded, which is by the power of God's Holy Spirit, is life and peace. Yes, there is a peace of mind in the fact that we are obedient to God. And there's a lot of things in the world where people are stressed out of their brains, literally, because of things. We're at peace. We can look at things and go, There's a bit of an inquiry at the moment on about flying saucers. And they've got a big committee, you know, powerful people meeting in a room trying to talk about flying saucers, what they are and all that. And they will not come to the right conclusion. It's absolutely impossible for them to come to the right conclusion because it's spiritual and they can't think spiritually. And if we were to get in contact with them and give them the answer, yeah, sure, I just had a nut on the phone. That's what they'd say. That's what they say, because that's all they can do. So all the money and all the billions of money and all the answers and all the high power intellects are going to come up with a conclusion that is totally and totally and totally wrong. Has to be. It's selfish. It's natural carnal mind. They can't come up with the answer because the answer is spiritual. Verse 7, but the natural mind, or the carnal mind that we were created with, is enmity, which is hostile against God. It hates God. The natural mind is against God. Therefore, no one out there is going to believe the truth, except those that are called to see it. For it is not subject, which means it will not yield. The natural mind will not yield to the law of God. So why would we expect anybody to yield to the law of God? They're not going to. They can't. So the difference is, that's our natural mind that we have, still dwells in here, still natural, but with the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can begin to change. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I find it exciting. I find it really exciting that we, have, out of all the people that God has allowed to live, we at this time have this incredible knowledge of truths, this 57 truths. No one else has those truths with spiritual understanding. They can read them, but it means nothing. Isn't it amazing what God has done for you and me? It's absolutely amazing. We should be in awe of it all. And the fact that what we're talking about today, we should be in awe of it, that we know the purpose of life. We're living it. We, members of the body of Christ, are the only people alive today that are living the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to transform the way we think. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're living it. We're going through this experience for that very purpose, to be transformed spiritually at one point, but to transform the mind now, where we're yielding to God, so that at a point in time, God can say, now I know you, and we will have life in Elohim forever, which we don't understand. Things that are far beyond our minds of comprehension. Trillions and trillions and hundreds of trillions and trillions and trillions of years in the future, this will mean very little. Mean very little. Because it will have just all gone on and it will never stop. It's just so exciting that that's our potential, the human potential to live in Elohim. It's staggering and we undervalue it. I know at times I have undervalued what God is really doing for us, members of the body of Christ, and what God has sacrificed, and the years that has been passed, counting time, human time, in the past, what has taken place with the creation, dinosaurs, spirit beings, all that stuff. Just to get to this point today, where we're looking for the return of Christ to solve the problems that can't be solved by anybody else, because man doesn't have the mind to solve them, because all the problems are spiritual in nature. Because the mind, everything here, Satan's mind, man's mind, is all against God. The natural carnal mind, its intent is totally against God, and it can't, Scripture says, it can't yield. It's not possible. have to have God's Holy Spirit to learn to yield, which is what we're doing. So then, verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Straightforward statement. Absolutely impossible, and we shouldn't expect them to. But we can please God because we've still got the carnal mind, but we've got something else that does please God, his thinking. So we can choose to do it. Those with the carnal mind of selfishness cannot please God. They can only please themselves. That's all they can do. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Isn't it wonderful? This is exciting. This is us. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of God, the same mind, the same intent, that person is not his, not Christ's. So we need God's Holy Spirit to be able to be in Christ. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness is this obedience to God, our desire, which Paul was talking about. He wanted to do one thing, but the natural mind kicked in now and again and would go the opposite. And you go, no, repentance. So the answer is just ongoing repentance. But if the Spirit of him, talking about God the Father, who raised Joshua from the dead dwells in you, which it does, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies life, or give life to your mortal bodies. That's what we look forward to. Through his Spirit which dwells in you. I think that's so encouraging. So this battle, we're never going to give it up because we want God's Spirit living in us for that very purpose, to give us spirit life in Elohim at a point in time. That's the purpose of life, to overcome this selfishness. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because there's nothing in it. It has the death penalty. The flesh, the natural mind, is under the death penalty, and it will, the selfish thinking, will be destroyed in the end. There will be no selfish thinking. None. Satan and the demons are gone. Mankind that wanted to choose selfishness will be gone. And in the end, there's only one thinking. God and spirit beings that are in unity with God. It's a marvelous thing. For if indeed you live according to the flesh, selfish thinking, you will die. Oh, another way to read it. If we live according to the flesh, we will die. If we don't fight the fight that we've been called to, we're going to die forever and ever. Never to have life ever again, because we're not choosing the right way. We've been called now for this purpose. And we may have to die and be resurrected to live it for 100 years. But the same choice, 100 years, 1,000 years time, 1,100 years, 1,050 years, this is exactly what's going to be preached the same. The natural carnal mind is hostile against God, not subject to the law of God, and indeed can't be, and we have to enter the battle. So this is just a message that is going to go on for a long time until there's no more natural carnal minds. They're not in existence. Verse 13 again. For if you live according to the flesh, the selfish thinking, you will die. But if by the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is the key. I'm going to read it again. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. We have to fight. We've got to put to death that carnal mind, those deeds, that habitual selfish thinking. We've got to sacrifice. Once called, we are required to deny our own natural selfishness, because it's natural to be selfish. We know it's deeper. It's just not natural selfishness, it's intent. We've got to get rid of the selfish intent that is behind the things we do. Once called, we must actively fight against our carnal mind or our natural mind. Once called, we must choose to depart from evil for the rest of our life. And it's tough. I'm not saying here by any means that it's easy. And please don't think that in any way I don't have the same battle that you have. We all have the same selfish, carnal mind that has different things going on in it that have to be fought. So we should never think, oh, that person's got it easy. It's never easy, because selfishness will always exist in this mind while it's carnal. It's just a matter of whether we want to fight it. So it's not easy for anyone. But there's a lot of encouragement here. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's us. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Just don't tell anybody that we're the children of God. Yeah, sure. And if children, then heirs. It's something we can inherit. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, who's already inherited, gone before us. If indeed we suffer, how do we suffer? By fighting selfishness. Now, I know there's other words in there, but they're actually not in Scripture. It just really did. Indeed we suffer. And that really is by fighting our selfishness. So let's suffer by fighting, because it does take a suffering. There's a point where there's a suffering where we have to deny self and pay the price for that suffering, because there's a reward that's spiritual that no one can see, but there's a reward for being selfish too. It's called get. But we're to live a different way. So we do have to fight, and we do have to suffer, and we will suffer. If we're denying self, we will suffer, because we're going to give out to the benefit of others at the expense of ourself. That's where the suffering comes in order that we may also be glorified together. We look for that day. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Therefore I, talking about Paul, remind you, talking to Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Timothy now has the power of God's Holy Spirit to change the way he thinks, to be converted, to be converting, because it takes time. And that converting is a lifetime experience, because we were born with a natural carnal mind for this very purpose of being transformed, convert, change, turn. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, which is one of cowardness, which is to pull back. Because often we will see things and it becomes whether we're going to yield or not. Are we going to now proceed and leave it as it was because there's a pleasure in sin? That selfishness is a pleasure. Or, you know, we pull back and we won't do it. We see now that we have to live a different way, and therefore we've got to suffer to live this other way. Example, Sabbath keeping. There's a suffering in Sabbath keeping. There's a lot of jobs that cannot be had by a natural human because of Sabbath keeping. And the moment you bring it up, they go, yeah, okay, next. There's a suffering. We will physically suffer for Sabbath keeping. We will physically suffer by giving tithes and offerings. So that's the choice. We pull back. Guess what happens when we pull back? We don't keep the Sabbath. We don't give tithes and offerings because we're pulling back. Because we're pleasing self. We're not pleasing God. By the power and love of a sound mind. So we should have sound thinking. We know the truth. The truths of God will give us that sound thinking. The truths are sound thinking because they come from God. So it's soundness of mind that we should have. And we can always fall back on those and read them and study them. And it does give a great energy, a spiritual energy. A sound mind is God's thinking. It's incredible. So we can have a sound mind if we believe the truth. We take on God's Spirit and believe. To demonstrate we have a sound mind, we would know and believe the truth. God's word is truth. So we believe God. God's word is truth, so we believe it and we live it. We're demonstrating love. We're demonstrating we love God by living the truth. Truth 16. We are only begotten now, not born again. we are not yet inheritors, but only heirs of God, because we haven't been changed. Whereas Christ has inherited, he's an inheritor, he's got it, he's achieved it, we are to follow and look forward to it. The Holy Spirit begets us as children of God, but we are not yet born of the Spirit of God, Spirit in composition. We look forward to it. Those in God's church can only be begotten of God's Spirit and born into God's family at a resurrection to spirit life. Now, when I first said this and made this statement, it's coming from Scripture. The natural carnal mind cannot inherit eternal life, cannot enter Elohim. It's just not going to, because God will see what a person has done, and at some point the carnal part will disappear and it will only be God's thinking when a person's a spirit being. And that's our battle. That's why we're in the body of Christ. That's why we're here today. We're in a battle for a purpose. People don't know we're in this battle because it's personal, and only we in our own minds know whether we're battling and how hardly we're battling. Those in God's church can only be begotten now. That's what we are. We're begotten sons of God because we have God's Holy Spirit living in us. I won't read John 3. Matthew 15, verse 10. We understand that in the end, not every mind will choose God. Whereas what we're demonstrating now, we choose God. That's what we want to do, we choose God. To this point in time, there have been thousands of people that have not taken up the fight against self. So many are called and few are chosen. Many have been called to take up this fight, what we've covered today. But the reality is, many have not continued in the fight. They've given up and gone back to the natural, carnal, selfish mind, because it's too hard. Because this is not an easy fight. Fighting self is not easy. And we will slip up and we will get discouraged about this slipping up. But the answer is repent and move on again. Have another go. I'll do it better next time. And keep doing it and doing it and doing it until one day we will do it better next time. And one day we will do it better because we'll think like God on the topic. Now, this is just a quick bit while we're in Matthew 15. There's a statement in Acts that says, we must through great tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Well, that tribulation is not talking about a physical tribulation. This is a tribulation up here. There's a fight that's got to go on. Many tests and trials, many difficulties. It's only through that that we can enter the kingdom of God. Because if nothing happens in our life and we just drift through life, do we really think that it sounds easy? It would be good. But do we think we would enter Elohim? We haven't changed the way we think. And that's what God's looking at. Do we desire to change the way we think? And I know that we do. We want to change the way we think. Matthew 15, verse 10. When he, talking about Joshua, had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what goes out of the mouth, words, this defiles or pollutes a man. So it's about the mind. This is Christ revealing it's all about the mind. So it's not about what we eat. We eat clean foods, yes, but that's not the point. The point is about what's coming in the mind and what comes out, what we say. And we want to change this so that what comes out is pleasing to God. That's what we want to do. Verse 12, then his disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended by when they heard this saying? A lot of people are going to be offended about a lot of things because once the truth is spoken, some people are going to be offended. They are today. But he answered and said, every plant which my Father has planted, has not planted, will be uprooted. So in other words, unless a person is called to see, they're not going to survive all this. It's not possible. It's only those that are called to see. let them alone, because at that time they didn't have God's Holy Spirit. You know, people that are there complaining and that, they can't do anything differently, can they? They're just not, it's not going to work because God wasn't with them. So they're going to be uprooted because they're just going to live a life and die. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. Well, they were blind because they had a natural carnal mind. So the natural carnal mind is blind to spiritual things. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Exactly what this world's doing, isn't it? The world is falling into a ditch. It's unraveling. Satan's system that's been set up is just unraveling. Everything is broken. You look at the ambulance system here where people are dying because the ambulance doesn't turn up or takes 5 hours to get there. Everything is unraveling because man's system, Satan's system, is not God's system. And everything's unraveling what man does because his motive is selfish. Deep, deep down, it's selfish because it's about money generally. Then Peter answered and said to him, talking to Christ, explain this parable to us. And so Joshua said, are you also still without understanding? Yep, natural carnal mind, that's all they had. They had not been given God's Holy Spirit at this point. The God Spirit was with them in some things, but not in them. So they saw some things, but they still couldn't perceive because it takes God's Spirit dwelling in us to perceive things. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, come from the mind, bad intent. They defile or pollute a person. So if somebody says with a natural mind, words coming out, you look good today. What's the motive? It was selfish. It's hard for us to grasp these things sometimes, but when somebody says that, they weren't really caring about that you look good. They might have been thinking sexually. They might have been thinking they'll think well of me. Because the motive behind it had to be selfish. It wasn't God's Holy Spirit saying you look good today. What's good? What looks good to one may not look good to another. So we often in our own thinking get deceived about things because everybody has a motive, and guess what? It is totally, totally selfish. Only they don't know it. Well, we should start to perceive these things amongst ourselves. But those things that which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, the mind, and they pollute a man because it's selfish. For out of the heart, out of the mind, the thinking, proceed evil thoughts, murderers, which is ill will and hate, adulteries, unlawful desires, wrong relationships, fornication, which is unlawful relationship, thefts. Now, often a person you wouldn't think is stealing, but when a person says something, they can actually steal because they can take something from somebody. You can take somebody's character, true? We can take someone's character from them. So it's a theft. We're stealing from them. They might have a character and say, oh, that person's just an idiot. That's actually theft. We're stealing from them. And why would we say that? It's because we're not idiots, are we? But they are. You can see how spiritually we need to be careful about what we are like. False witness, which is lying, and blasphemies. And the way we blaspheme in God's church is we don't live the truth. That's how we blaspheme. We blaspheme God's word, God's name, because of that. These things are the things which defile or pollute a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, which the Pharisees were carrying on about, does not pollute or defile a man. So we are worried about our intent. That's the key to that. The carnal mind of selfishness will not enter the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? ? Now we should know that unless a person has entered this battle, they will not enter the kingdom of God. So we can know that certain battles have taken place through the time, 6,000 odd years of mankind, that there have been a lot. And we know there's going to be 144,000 soon that'll be sealed and set, that have taken on this battle to one degree or another. Some had very little truth, some had a lot, like we have a lot. That some have taken on that battle and endured to the end, and there's going to be 144,000 that will inherit the kingdom of God very soon. That's exciting to know. Very exciting. Well, we have that same potential to enter Elohim at some point in time. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, which is anything we put before God, nor adulterers, unlawful relationships, nor homosexuals, that's active. Now, a lot of people talk about, this statement was said by a footballer in Australia, that no homosexuals would enter the kingdom of God. But if a person's been born with a genetic disposition, he's got a natural carnal mind either way. So isn't it the same as a man that desires a woman that's a law? Same thing, it's a sexual thing. It's wrong thinking. So really, this is talking about active people, because some people are born with different disabilities and different proclivities. Well, that's what has to be overcome. A person who's a thief or a liar is exactly the same. Has to be overcome. It's about overcoming what's in the mind, the thinking. It's about resisting. Nor thieves. So anybody robbing God cuts themselves off from God. They rob God. Nor covetous, which is lustful desires. Nor drunkards, which means excess alcohol. Excess alcohol is rebellion to God's government, because guidelines have been given. And if a person chooses to think they know better and drinks in excess, becomes mind where it's not in control, it's rebellion against God. Absolute rebellion against God, because the guidelines have been given from God's government, which is God's thinking. It's about controlling the mind, of course. It's about the mind. Nor revelers nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So none of those people, unless they've entered the fight to overcome, whether they're liars or whatever they are, we all must enter the fight. Now, we're all often some of those things. And such are some of you, or verse 11, and such were some of you, me, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. We've been called to change. We've been set aside for holy use and purpose. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Joshua through Passover by the Spirit of our God. It's exciting, very exciting. We'll work to a conclusion. Ephesians 4, verse 17. So the issue that we all have in our life is a proclivity that we might have. And it can be a sexual proclivity, it can be robbing from God, it can be exaggerating, lying, it can be many things. But that's the proclivity that's in the natural selfish mind. We have to enter that fight, to fight to not be like that. Because everyone's different. Not everybody thinks the same. Not everyone has the same fault to deal with. And that's why we don't judge others, because they could be going through a battle we know nothing about. We would focus in on the self to see the battle we have. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I, which is Paul, say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, referring to we shouldn't walk like anybody else in the world. We're going to walk differently. Because why don't we walk that way? Because we don't want to be selfish. They're all walking in selfishness. Everybody that isn't called to overcome selfishness is simply walking in selfishness. And everything has a motive that is selfish, and it may not be obvious and seen. So we're not to walk as the world walks, in the futility of their mind. That mind is so futile, it's empty. It has nothing to do with God in it. Even though it may demonstrate it thinks it does, and Protestants go on Sunday and it's close to God, and people go off and want to find themselves and what's the other? There's another word. It's very spiritual. They go to a place and say, this is very spiritual and meditate. You think, it's a load of garbage. There's nothing spiritual about it at all. Absolutely. It's just a physical sensation of pleasing self. That's all it is. To be spiritual is to believe God. It takes God's Holy Spirit to be spiritual. So they're walking in the futility of their mind. That's not us. We don't walk in the futility. We walk to do something, to fight self. Having their understanding darkened, which it is, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They can't see anything spiritual. Who, being past feeling, not given themselves over, or have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk according to uncleanliness in greediness, or with greediness. Hey, have a look around the world. What do we see? Exactly that. But you, but we, have not so learned Christ. We've learnt Christ. We know how Christ walked. So we now have learnt what Christ did. He did everything powered by God's spirit of love, the intent of the law. That's what he lived. He showed it, revealed it. If indeed you have heard him, which we have, and have been taught by him, talking about Christ, as the truth is in Joshua. He lived the truth. He revealed truth. Everything he did was done in truth. That you put off concerning your former conduct. We have to change. We have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we act. We have to change. The old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. That's exactly what's happening. Well, we're putting that off. We're getting rid of that. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it's about the mind, the battle, like Johnny has said. The battle is for the mind. That's what it's all about. It's about the way we think. We reject Satan's thinking, which we have by nature. We reject it and we want to think like God. Because if we do and we take up that battle, at some point in time, we will enter Elohim. And God will say, now I know you. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. So this new person, this new way of thinking can only be done through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And who does it? God. God does it. God is the one who will transform our mind if we're willing to yield. We've got a desire to think differently. We've got a desire to repent. And if we do, God says, now I know you. Isn't it a wonderful, exciting thing? Yearn for that day, for that time that God thinks that. Now I know you. You will always yield to me. With that mind that you have, you've fought it. You can never overcome it totally. But now we're going to yield to it. God says, now that'll never exist in you ever again. Now your spirit, you think differently. You think like me. So exciting. So we're to put off the old man and put on the new man, which was created according to God. So God's doing it in true righteousness and holiness. This is the challenge God has placed before us. Us. Not the world. Us. It's our challenge. They know nothing about it. They don't care about it. We do. But that's the challenge we have. We are to fight self and fight against self until the day we die. No matter what happens. Once called, it's our choice to think differently or to continue to think differently. We have to choose every day because we can choose not to think differently because thousands and thousands of people have been called to think differently and have chosen to go back to thinking selfishly. Hard to imagine that we would do it, but it's possible because of wrong choices that we would make. So, brethren, all we have to do is continue to fight.